You are listening to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the best place for movie topics and blockbuster discussions. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town. I am your host, AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer. And on today's edition of Movie Cheer Town, we will be having a laser disc discussion, but I am not alone for this discussion. I'm joined by Ben, aka Rider Rated 18, regular in Movie Cheer Town. Ben, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, AP. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on again. And it's good to delve into LaserDisc once again, because the other one seems to be doing quite well since you uploaded it and you wanted to know a bit more about it. So we'll talk about some more topics and let's see where it goes.
Yeah. Definitely. So, so for people who maybe didn't watch the first episode, so we did this about 2022 now, was it, Ben?
Quite
a while. We've been meaning to do like a round two discussion on just LaserDisc in general, collecting, just the format, different case covers, and just talking about the format in general. So we thought let's do a round two of LaserDisc. So I will say in advance, I don't collect LaserDisc. Ben is the expert on this. He has more knowledge of this format than myself. And that's why it's great to have Ben here today to discuss the format. So I thought, first of all, before we start off, Ben, would you mind giving people a recap who haven't watched the first episode, kind of like a recap on like what the format of LaserDisc is and kind of your journey with LaserDisc? Because you did say beforehand you're not really collecting much since that last episode, but just kind of your journey with LaserDisc and where you're at now with it as well.
Yeah, basically, LaserDisc is a obsolete video format. It's basically a giant DVD. That's probably the best way to describe it. Analog picture, digital sound, 12-inch sleeves. And basically, it was kind of like the Super VHS compared to VHS, if you want to call it that. And it was very sought after, but not very successful. The mainstream public didn't really jump onto it. VHS was king back then. And then once DVD came in, LaserDisc just died off because not enough people got into it. But it's mainly for the aficionados, the true cinephiles, those that want, you know, the best movie experience at home with the best digital signals, but also maybe not the best picture quality, but in terms of just having the movies on a different format, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
Okay, so I you said to me obviously we messaged prior to doing this episode today, and you said you're not collecting at the moment. So where are you at with collecting now? Are you still actively looking for new LaserDiscs, or are you kind of just kind of happy with what you've got currently?
I mean, I do have the majority of the titles that I was after, like all the 80s and 90s action films, managed to get all them. Anything else now is kind of, if I can see it in the wild, I'll get it. If there's anything specific, I mean, we'll get into that subject later of like specific ones I'm after, but in terms of, you know, the mainstream films I was after, I've got them all. So there's really no reason to buy any more. Like, I wanted to get Con Air, Speed, Face Off, Broken Arrow, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Star Wars trilogy, all that good stuff. And, you know, that's what it was really mainly for. But in terms of any other titles, there's really nothing much else. I mean, if I do buy them now, it's got to be something that I don't own already, or if it's a movie I've never seen before, or if I see it in the wild and it's cheap and it's in good condition, then I'll pick it up for a five or whatever. But yeah, that's mainly the real reason, because I've just got what I was after. Yeah, and it didn't take that long to get all that, really. So that's mainly the real reason. And also, I've been getting stuff out of storage and trying to get all the VHS back in the house, and I've been replacing old DVDs with new Blu-rays as well. So the collection has been sort of taking that turn as well. So LaserDisc has kind of just stood still for a bit. I've been focusing on mainly Blu-ray upgrades over the last year or so. Yeah,
that's fair enough. Yeah. So, I mean, want to get into it. LaserDisc, you know, it was a format, was it? I think it was 1978, and it kind of fizzled out in like the early 2000s. I think, didn't you say last time it was in Japan, it kind of went a bit longer, and then in North America it stopped a bit early, was it, Ben?
Yeah, I think it stopped in America around sort of 99 2000, and then in Japan it carried on until at least sort of early 2001, and then it just stopped because once DVD came in, that's what everyone leapt onto, and there was literally no more market for it. And in terms of North America, I think that was probably the key market, and then once that stopped, you know, it pretty much died. And the Japanese, they like to continue on with stuff, but obviously even they couldn't keep it going for as long as they could have done. But as far as I know, they carried on making players for a bit. I mean, I remember in Japan, I've heard stories and read articles that they carried on for a few more years making more players, but really it stopped around 2001.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been looking into this, because I've asked you in advance, what titles did you feel like didn't receive the LaserDisc treatment? But I kind of asked you this, and then I looked into it further. I've been looking on eBay and thinking, and it's like, And you said it on the last episode we did. It was very much a mass-produced format anyway, so really wasn't that many titles. I'm looking online and looking on eBay and thinking, what titles didn't get a Laserdisc release?
Yeah.
And I honestly couldn't see a Laserdisc where I thought, wow, that's a big movie that didn't get a Laserdisc release. I mean, is there any that you feel like maybe that came, movies that came out kind of like on the cusp of Laserdisc finishing, or was there any in the midst of it all where you felt like that movie should have got a Laserdisc release and didn't get one? Or
yeah, I mean, according to the Laserdisc database, the 2000 movie Pitch Black is listed, but the but the release was actually officially cancelled. So there were plans to get Pitch Black on Laserdisc. You know, the sci-fi film with Vin Diesel. And it is marked as officially cancelled. So that was in the works, but it never made it. So that would have been a good one. There's also a urban legend that apparently Gladiator starring Russell Crowe was supposed to have one, but it never happened. And
well, that never got a release, no.
Yeah, it never got a release, but there are people that claim that discs were made, but it never made it to stores. So I don't know whether there's like sort of early pressings or these kind of, you know, pre-warehouse pressings or something. Some claim they've got them and they don't have them. It's kind of like this urban legend. So, and considering look at the time frame when the film was released, it would have been perfect for the format. But as I said, it just never quite made it. So you can take that what you will. It's just one of those urban legends that keeps getting talked about. You know, did Gladiator actually get manufactured? But I've never seen one, and I've never seen one with my own eyeballs or in a photo. So no.
Yeah, it's bizarre that when you hear about, because I listen to like toy collecting, wrestling figure collecting podcasts, and when I hear about like things where you have like a certain wrestling figure that was never released, but there's like the prototypes, and it's a similar thing, isn't it? Like you think, then you're kind of like thinking, is this a legit release if you do find one in the wild? And then I think it's cool though that there's kind of that thing where you've got the releases potentially out there that were made, but they weren't actually officially released, and there's only a small number.
There's a few more titles that I think probably just missed out. I'm talking about movies that came around sort of 2001, 2002, 2003, early 2000s. Okay. I do think that one that would have been amazing would have been the first Fast and the Furious movie from 2001. Yeah,
yeah.
That just missed out. And I feel, because that's really the only good one. Sorry to disappoint you, but I think the first movie is the only good one. And I think that would have suited the format with the audio and with the car racing and all the car stunts in it. That would have been a good one. Yeah. Also, from 2002, Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man. I think that would have been a good release on the format. Oh, that would have been so good to have an early Marvel film on there. Because I know the first X-Men movie got a Japanese release from 2000.
Right, okay.
That did get released. But Spider-Man from 2002, just missed out. That would have been really cool. Can you imagine the artwork on that one? That would have looked...
I know. That's the thing. It's like, I always, for me, it's when obviously seeing the ones that you've shown on your Instagram page and the ones you showed me in the past, I think it's always the artwork. Obviously, people enjoy the format, but I think that the artwork's a big part of it as well. Just like to see what they would have done for the Laserdisc of a Spider-Man. I was thinking of Fellowship of the Ring, because that was 2001, and
that was the next one I was going to mention. Yeah, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I mean, that would have been mega. I mean, the artwork on the screen would have been incredible. Would have been a lot of discs because it's a long film, so it would have been would have been two discs, four sides, or if it was the extended one, it would have been maybe three discs, six sides, who knows? And some have actually done some memes where they've got like the whole trilogy of all three films, the extended cuts, and it's got two people trying to lift it because it's just full of discs. That's a shame it's a shame that trilogy didn't make it. But I mean, at least the first one, The Fellowship of the Ring, that would have been prime for the format. But again, just a year too late, maybe a year and a half too late. So that's another one that probably just missed out. Yeah. Also, maybe the first Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, that would have been a good one. That was 2003. Yep. And
there's so many movies on that cusp. Yep. They're like 2002, 2003.
Yeah, and these were like these big fantasy films with a lot of visual effects and with the digital audio. It would have been perfect. And probably the last two that just missed out was the other two prequels from Star Wars, Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, because they didn't make it. Because Phantom Menace did make it, but Attack and Sith did not make it. So it would have been nice to have had the prequel trilogy on the format, but again, it was just too many years too late.
Mm. Yeah. So for starting a collection in 2024, kind of like tips for people out there or who want to like maybe start a journey of collecting Laserdisc, what would you say, any tips for people for collecting Laserdisc and really any obstacles, maybe with like the players themselves? Because I know in the past you've said you've had trouble with some of the players, and you know, I remember you saying, well, you have to actually physically take it out of the player at times. So, I mean, what would you say, any tips for people wanting to get into collecting the format this year, and kind of like obstacles you think they may find with maybe purchasing them and getting the players? How have you found it, really?
I will say that the player is probably still the trickiest part. I mean, unfortunately, prices have gone up even more since we last chatted. I mean,
yeah,
I did look on eBay just before we came online, and there were a few that are like £150, sometimes £200. Those that were made sort of in the late 90s, you know, as long as they're fully working, people are going to charge more for the players. So I would say the movies is probably the easiest part. The player is still going to be the trickiest part. And there's a lot of boutique ones from Pioneer, like silver players that can like do more. They can do more things, like you don't have to flip the discs, or they've got better audio connections at the back, more switches at the back. And so, yeah, I would say the player is going to be the trickiest bit. So you're going to have to fork out a bit of cash for one. And as I said, technical issues are always going to be a thing. And like I said, touch wood, the one I got fixed is still working. And the other one I purchased as well, still working. But I know at some point they could go bang at any point. But yeah, you just, because I don't like watching long films on them, because I'm just worried they're going to break or they're going to get too
hard. Yeah, I get it. So, yeah. I think so. it's just that worrying it though with like all the formats. I mean, like I was like my previous job, I left and they had like some of the old CRT TVs with the DVD players. And I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to take one of them because they were up for grabs. And I was like, yeah, I'll take one of them. It'd be cool to have one. And then I was trying about three of them out. We had three of them in like this warehouse. And then I tried every single one of them and the DVD drive didn't come out, or there was some sort of error. They were like going black and white and stuff. There was just, I think that's just like, that's that worry with all the tech with like VHS players or laser disc players. You're always thinking, you know, you haven't got a warranty. They're not as easy to get someone to fix them. And I think that is like, people are kind of like, if you want to invest in a format, the kind of, there's that worry. Do I invest £100 in this player and then I can't do anything with it? Or I suppose is that the worry, do you think? Have you ever had that with buying into the format initially? Were you kind of thinking that way? Or
yeah, that was one of the main hesitations. It's like, you know, what if this does go bang? What am I going to do? And I think I told you, I did find someone in North London who, he's got his own little business and he just fixes old electronics. And luckily I found him, but you know, I've got to trek from like West London to North London, you know, all the way through the central London, trying to find this random warehouse where this guy's got his own little business. And luckily he fixed it. But again, you know, these people aren't around anymore. Like, not everyone knows how to fix them. And you've got the sort of the electricians that know these things. But again, it's a very sort of, you know, unknown oddity of a player. So not everyone is going to know how to fix them. I mean, I'm sure if you lived in Japan, you could probably get it fixed no problem because, you know, they know their stuff. But like I said, yeah, the player is still going to be the main issue. But in terms of finding the movies, that really hasn't been an issue. I mean, you go on eBay, you go on the Facebook groups, everything's available. And if it's something quite rare, it's going to be more expensive. And if it's something very obsolete, like American TV movies, you know, nothing that was like mainstream Hollywood or television shows or anything like that, or any sort of naughty films, you know, I won't sort of mention that, you know. Sometimes
we'll keep it PG.
And, but yeah, I think the biggest challenge will still be, you know, getting the player and also getting the extra audio equipment. If you want to unleash DTS or Dolby AC3, you're going to need an AV receiver, and they're not cheap. You know, they're quite expensive. I still haven't bought one because they're just so expensive and I wouldn't know what to do with it. So yeah, I'd say equipment and players are still going to be the trickiest thing. So you need to do a lot of research and try and pick the right deal.
So, I mean, for yourself now, what's on the wish list, the dream list? Because I remember you said there was a Bond movie.
Yes.
The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah, The World Is Not Enough, the third Pierce Brosnan film. Yeah, like I said, I've got GoldenEye, got Tomorrow Never Dies, but yeah, The World Is Not Enough was a Japanese only. So, yeah, it's massively expensive. I've seen it on eBay a few times, but they want like £150 for it. And I'm like, I'm not paying that for one Bond. I mean
that seems cheap. I seen one for £600 on eBay today. I was just like, wow.
That's bloody, no, that's just daylight robbery, that is. That's
right.
I'm just hoping that I might come across a job lot and like The World Is Not Enough is in there and they just want just like £50 for all of it. I'll just take the whole job lot.
Yes.
That's probably gonna be the only time I'll find it. In terms of a few others, I wouldn't mind getting Scream 2 and Scream 3 so I can complete the original trilogy, because I've got the first one And okay. Scream 2 seems to be available, but Scream 3 was Japanese only because that came out in 2000. So it'd be nice to have Wes Craven's original trilogy on the format. That'd be a kind of good one.
Yeah.
Another one that came up was South Park, Bigger, Longer and Uncut. You know, the feature-length episode of the South Park.
I thought you meant, I thought it was the movie. So I didn't, when was this? An episode, was it? Yeah.
It was the movie that came out in 99.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. I know you. Yeah.
And that was like one of the last few North American releases. And again, people want to charge, you know, $300, $400 for it. I'm like, come on, it can't be, it's not worth that much. Yeah, so those are, and also two more, I'm still looking for the two Knight Rider discs as well, because there were two releases in Japan, one for the pilot episode and one for the season 4 premiere episode, and they were Japanese only. And again, I've only seen them going for like nearly £150 each. I mean, it's like, come on, it's only a 90-minute film. It's not
worth it. That's a pricey investment.
I don't need it. But the thing is, I kind of want it because it's like, you know, I want to have Knight Rider on Laserdisc. I've got it on VHS, got it on DVD. I want to have it on all formats. You know what I'm talking about. So
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, those are the only ones, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of the covers, the Laserdisc covers, so you shared a few last time.
Yep.
In terms of Laserdisc covers, which ones do you think are better versions than the other formats? Have you got any that come to mind where you think this is a better case cover than the actual the DVD or the Blu-ray or the VHS? Have you got a few in mind?
Yeah, there's a few I've managed to pick out, and obviously not to share the ones we had before, but one that does come to mind is the Criterion Collection release of Ghostbusters.
Oh, right, okay.
What I love about this one is that for the first time on the cover, you've got all four of them in shot there, including Winston. You know, and Winston's always taking off these covers, isn't he? And plus you've got the logo, Ghostbusters. It's not just the symbol. I mean, the symbol looks cool, obviously, but to have all four of them in one shot here at the most badass moment of the film, I mean, how cool is that? All four of them in one shot.
That's ace. Yeah. I like that. I've never seen... I mean, the VHS was always just like the Ghost logo, wasn't it, as far as I know?
Just the Ghost logo, but just to have all four of them in shot there, I think that's just kind of cool. And it was never really used on any other release. And like I said, the fact that Ghostbusters won't come back to the Criterion Collection, I mean, you know, this is like a real sort of treasure. I'm glad I got this one. So yeah, so this is one
voice cover.
Yeah, and just to have Winston there as well, because he always gets put to the side, doesn't he? In terms of another one, I haven't seen this on any other release. The Robin Williams film, Jumanji. Now, look at that one.
Oh, wow. I love that. That is brilliant. I mean, I've got the DVD, and that is... The DVD cover is nice, but that looks like the board. It looks like... That's wicked.
The board, isn't it? Yeah. I haven't seen this used on any other release, because I went through all of them and seen, I've got that. That's on that one. But yeah, this one, there's not even a steelbook of this. I mean, just look, that's literally all that detail. Look at that.
That's what I like about case covers. That is a beautiful cover. What's on the back? Is there anything?
There's a gatefold in this one as well. I mean, just look at that. You've got all these pictures, all the production notes, all the chapter stops. It's all in there. And look at the artwork on the back. Got the rhinos on the back as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the back cover. The back cover is similar to the DVD, but it just looks more detailed and just it looks cooler. The logo looks a bit more. It pops more. That's. I like that. Yeah, I really like that.
It's not on a steelbook is criminal, really, when you think about it. I mean, that's a really good. That'll make a good canvas, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. That is superb. I love that. That's brilliant.
And also sticking with some James Bond stuff. I mean, this cover of GoldenEye, I think, is quite cool.
Because you've got
Brosnan in the centre, you've got both Bond girls, next to him. You've got him running there. You've got all the explosions, the car stuff, and all the explosions and all that. I mean, most of the GoldenEye posters are good, but again, I haven't seen this on any other release anywhere else, and it just stands out. I mean, that's quintessential Bond right there. That's 90s Bond in a nutshell, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just classy as well. It looks amazing. It just pops. That's brilliant.
And just on the back, you've got that cool picture of the tank chase. That's just bonkers. You know, it's so good. But yeah, this is another one that stands out. It's just, having him and both Bond girls in the shot. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that, Ben. That is very cool, mate.
I'm just trying to think, because I showed Terminator 2 last time, but I think also The Terminator as well. I mean, I don't think I've seen this on any other new release recently, like the classic photo of Arnie with the gun and the sunglasses. I don't think the Blu-ray's ever had this cover, at least not the UK version. Yeah.
It looks kind of, I think, is that like a, have they sort of like done an art sort of like a glossy effect on it? It looks kind of like a bit from here where I'm watching it, it looks a bit like arty, like it's like kind of been drawn.
Maybe a little bit. And I know the VHS like had a cover similar to this, but the fact that it's him in full center with the gun, with the sunglasses, I mean, that's just perfect. And what I love about this one is that it does have the original mono soundtrack on this one, because that's all been changed for the Blu-rays. You know, they like to fiddle with all the sound effects and the gunshots and all that. So the fact that it's got the original mono on here is, it's just brilliant. I mean, that, again, quintessential Arnold, just like the second one. It's perfect, isn't it? Yeah.
That is brilliant, mate. I really like that. I think it's like I said, all of them have, they're all got that unique, that, I think that's the thing I like about this. The ones you've shown me, always, they always seem very unique to the other case covers. And don't get me wrong, there's probably some that are better on other formats, but the ones like them ones, like that Jumanji one, that's just like, it's just completely different to what you were getting with the DVD, with the VHS. And it's just, like I said, it's a more of an art piece. If you put, you can put that in a room and it really just, it looks incredible. Like, it looks really great. So, I mean, so that, thanks for sharing them with us as well, Ben. I appreciate that. That's great. We had a question sort of out to the Movie Cheer Town community to get a few questions in for this. So Gareth from Video Tasties, I know you know Gareth, he's a top guy, been on his channel, you've been on his channel a lot. And he said, are there any Laserdisc films that look better than the Blu-ray release?
So, in terms of the outright picture quality, no. Yeah, the Laserdisc, in terms of its picture quality, it's never going to be up there with Blu-ray. It just can't do it because of the analog settings of it. I mean, the only way a Laserdisc can probably be on par with a Blu-ray is probably if it's done through a projector. I mean, that might make it look even better. I mean, through the standard new TVs we've got now, even old analog TVs, they might look okay. But the only way a Laserdisc can probably really pop is if you put it on a projector. And I don't know how much one of those is going to cost, but if you want it to look really as good as it can do, maybe a projector is probably the best way to get the picture as good as it can be, because that is as authentic as it can be. But I will say, in terms of like the audio, I think a lot of Laserdiscs can rival Blu-rays in terms of the audio. There's a lot of DTS audio and Dolby AC3 that sound really good. So really, in terms of picture, no. But audio, probably up there. Probably on par with Blu-ray in terms of the audio settings,
So I think that's the thing you've always said, like it's like a super VHS, but I think a lot of people like it, like yourself, for the audio quality. The audio's obviously is a step up. And I think obviously people who enjoy the likes of 4K and Blu-ray, they'd probably go to that format and be thinking like, this is just nothing super special. But I suppose the audio on certain movies though does really stand out and really does like, just gives it a bit of an edge over certain other formats, especially I suppose over like VHS and DVD, definitely.
Definitely. Particularly with something like Independence Day, you know, a big 90s blockbuster. I mean, it just sounds amazing on this format. And also some of those big disaster films like Armageddon or Volcano or Dante's Peaks, you know, all the sort of bombastic stuff like that. The audio on it is probably going to sound probably on par with the Blu-ray. Maybe not as good, but it's definitely up there. So yeah, the audio is definitely its strongest point. Yeah.
So like, how are you integrating it to your current setup then, Ben? With like, I mean, on your TV stand, is it, obviously these players are pretty big, I imagine, as well.
Yeah, I mean, I use one of these. It's a SCART to HDMI adapter. I'll just bring it up there. Right. You can buy these from pretty much any electrical store. I got this from Curry's PC World like ages ago.
Right, okay.
And it's got like the SCART, because it runs through a SCART cable, and then it sort of transfers it into there, and it's got like an HDMI port on that side, and then you should be able to get the picture through to a modern TV. But unfortunately, you know, the results can vary. It depends on the disc. You know, sometimes you will have to do picture adjustment on some of them, because some of them can be a bit too dark. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
Maybe down to the flat screen. Maybe the flat screen is too advanced for it. I think if you watch it on an older analog TV, it might look a bit better. Okay. But if you can just get yourselves one of those, you know, to literally get started, that's probably the most basic way to sort of see them. I think there are other ways to get enhancers, you know, via AC receivers. And also, I think there's some devices that you can get that you can adjust picture settings between TV and player. So yeah, so if you really want something quite advanced, you're going to have to fork out some cash. But if you want something basic, just so it can work, just get one of these.
It does the job.
They cost about £15-20, you know, they're not much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's well worth it. Have you got like so what sort of TV are you putting into? Is it a HD or 4K TV?
Yeah, it's a 4K TV. It's one of the Samsung ones. Yeah, was it QLED ones, you know, quite recent.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the time they look okay, but yeah, a lot of them do require picture adjustment. Yeah, so it's always going to be So as you're watching it, you're trying to sort of, you know, increase the brightness, lower that, do this, do that. And yeah, but 9 times out of 10, there are a few that actually do work. I mean, like Time Cop with Van Damme, I could put that in. It looks fine. Put Terminator 2 in. Looks fine. But it's just, yeah, it really depends on the pressing. And yeah, yeah, it just varies. You're never going to get a good picture unless you just keep adjusting. So that's probably another little, you've got to just, you just got to deal with it. Yeah.
Do you think they would look better on the like the CRT TVs, like the, you know, the older TVs? And do you reckon it's probably, if you use it on the off, obviously the technology of the time, do you reckon it would look better? Or
probably,
do you reckon like modern technology kind of like pulls it back a bit, you know?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I haven't seen it with my own eyeballs, but I can believe if you watch it on an older TV, it will just look a bit better. If you watch a VHS on a little tiny TV, it looks fine. Yeah, but if you watch a VHS big flat screen, obviously you can see some imperfections. But yeah, if you watch it on an older TV, it will look better. Yeah,
it's like with video games, isn't it? Like everyone says, like they use a CRT because if you're playing the SNES or the, you know, the Mega Drive,
yeah,
it's always meant to be a little better on a CRT TV because you're kind of, you're getting it of that time. It's meant to like look better. I mean, I was fine. I play like retro games on newer TVs and they look fine, but I think I suppose it's that nostalgia aspect as well, just getting that feel of what it would have looked like at the time. And how you remembered it being, obviously at that time you really sort of like first got into something like that format. But that's cool. So it's cool that you can integrate it all with your modern. I think that's great. The little switch you've got there, so you can put it into like your modern setup as well. Is it quite bulky? Have you just got it on the stand of your bed as well? Just like, is it on TV stand or?
Yeah, it's in like a sort of a cabinet where I've got like the VHS player, the Laserdisc player, the PS4, and like the Freeview box and all that. It's just a basic thing you could buy from Argos, you know. But yeah, it is quite heavy, and you're gonna have to shove it in like this, and you've got to sort of push it in, and it literally just about fits. There's not much clearance between the top of it, and it can be a bit of a stretch. Yeah, you've got to make sure that you get it.
Yeah, it works. Is it a makeshift, but it works?
it slides in perfectly fine. Yeah, but there's just not much clearance between the top of it and the top of the cabinet. And also, the good thing is they've got the circular bits underneath them, so it's like on a stand, so it's not completely flat on the surface. It's got like four separate pillars on it, so you can actually sort of, you know, stack it properly. And if you were to like put another player on top of it, that would be fine because it's got the four different feet on it. So it just about fits. Yeah,
that's good. So I mean, like in terms of preserving Laserdisc, obviously I can see you've got like them. Have you got like them cases on them? Then
yeah, I got these plastic sleeves. Yeah, like you can buy these from HMV, and they're like 10p a sleeve. And yeah, I've got this one for Independence Day, and yeah, it's just a sleeve, you know, just put it in that, and that preserves it, because they're four vinyl records, but because they're the same size sleeves, you can, and I bought about, I bought about 20 of them, and they're like 10p each, so they're easily available, and it just preserves them, so you don't dink all the corners on them and anything like that, and it sort of, you know, keeps the moisture out and keeps the dust out as well. So yeah, I do need to buy maybe another 5 or 6 more, then all of them should be covered. But yeah, you can easily get these from HMV, no problem. Yeah, these case covers here. Yeah.
Have you got like a long-term plan for them? Like, would you like to have eventually put them on the wall, displaying them, a few on the wall, like maybe, or having like a few of them scattered around the movie room more so, or what's
That would be ideal. I mean, it's not easy with the way the living room is set up. You know, there's not really much wall space here. I mean, if you can sort of have a straight bit of wood, and you can sort of just have them sort of lined up like that, one here, five along, maybe you might do that. But overall, in terms of like having them all stacked like this on the bottom shelf, I mean, it's no real big deal. I mean, as long as they're on a lower shelf, you know, I mean, if I was to get like one of those iPhone stands where you can like sort of just prod one like that, then do that every once in a while. But yeah, it's just best to keep them low and keep them, you know, away from heat, you know, and just keep them low down, because it will sag with too many on there. Freaking
so
heavy.
I want to kind of like finish on the later this discussion with one final question, really. If they were going to do, so say you got someone out there who decided they want to kind of like invest in making Laserdisc today, a big company, and they wanted to, you know, do a 4K or a Blu-ray, just a modern release on modern format DVD. I mean, what movie, a modern movie on Laserdisc, what modern movie would you like to see kind of have the Laserdisc treatment? So, you know, it can be any movie, and kind of like your reasons for it would be like particular like a soundtrack, or you know, just to have the cool cover, to see what they would do with a laser disc cover. Is there any you've got in mind, Ben?
Yeah, I did sort of think about it, and because there have been a few things going on recently with a lot of horror films, and some of them have been getting VHS releases. I think there was like one of the Evil Dead films just had a VHS release in North America, like just for a limited time. Hey, it's, you can get it on VHS, you know.
Yeah, so they do it.
Yeah. But because it's like cheaper to make them, yeah, it makes sense. I would say, thinking long and hard about it, I think Top Gun Maverick would be a good one, just because the original was on the format. And with the way that film is shot, you know, everything in camera, it would just look so good. I mean, if you can get, let me get the Blu-ray. If you can get, you know, that as a full cover, you know, having Tom Cruise on a 12-inch, I mean, that would look pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
and to
definitely.
Have the original and have the new one together, I mean, that would look pretty cool, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I like that. I like the idea of that. That's a good choice.
And also, you know, I have seen interviews with Tom Cruise, and he was a fan of the format. He used to collect them. He might still have them. I don't know. He was a big advocator and said, like, he said it was the best way to watch them back in the day. So I'd say Top Gun Maverick is one. This one's a bit of a stretch, but I think Zack Snyder's Justice League might be a good one.
That'd be a great one. That'd be a really great choice. That would, I mean, could they physically do that, though?
Well, it would have to be maybe three discs, six sides, probably. Four hours long. But the thing is, because it was shot in IMAX, you know, it might be okay, because there were a few films, well, not a few films, there was a few documentaries that were specifically filmed for IMAX back in the day. I think there was like some nature ones. I think there was some motorsport ones. And I think there was some NASA ones as well that were like filmed in IMAX. And they were all released on Laserdisc. So if Justice League was done in IMAX, then that could probably work. I mean, the audio would be really good. I don't know about the visual effects. That might be a bit shonky. I don't know. Because when you watch Justice League, you know, it's in the 4x3, isn't it? Because it's in full IMAX.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of fits with it. But as I said, it'll be a really long film, so you're going to have at least, you know, six sides for it. So.
Maybe one day. I mean, do you reckon, like, do you think it could possibly happen? Or do you reckon, I mean, just from your knowledge of the format and obviously in the groups you go on, the LDDB, is it, what's it called? LDDB database and stuff, like the forums,
the Laserdisc database. So the Facebook groups like Laserdisc Forever and Infinity UK. Every time someone brings up this question, everyone's just like, no.
It's not possible.
It's not because it's possible. I just don't think the market's there for it. I just don't think the mainstream public would be up for it. Someone's going to have to invest, you know, to manufacture them. Someone's going to have to invest in marketing. Someone's going to have to invest in printing all of them. And then you've got to sell them. And then, like, you know, you've got to then ship them out to people. And just because it wasn't a mainstream thing back in the day, I just don't think now it'll only be for like the aficionados that really want it, and I just can't see it happening. There's always something funny that comes up on April Fool's Day. They sometimes create these bogus articles where it says Pioneer are going to bring out a combi player, Laserdisc player, DVD player, 4K player in it. But it's like, no, it's not happening. Yeah.
I've heard it before. It's not happening. No way.
No.
Oh, man. I mean, you can only dream. You can have the dream. I mean, it's... It's a nice idea, but I like the idea of, I think, Top Gun Maverick and obviously the Snyder Cut. I think they're two excellent choices there.
Yeah, and maybe one more. I would say probably the Batman from 2022. I think that would be a pretty cool one, just because of how good that film looked in terms of the cinematography, all the neon lights and the rain and all that. Again, it would be another long one. It'd be at least four sides, two discs for that one, because it's quite a long film.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. I think just to see what they do with the alternative artwork as well on that one.
Yeah, that would look pretty good, because there were so many good posters for the Batman. So that would be another good one. But in terms of like other big films, probably not. Maybe some of the superhero stuff. But those are the only sort of three that came to mind. But it's encouraging, as I said, that VHS seems to be getting a bit of a resurgence with horror films, you know, getting like this limited release. And I think when they did the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, they did a few cassettes for the soundtrack as well. That was available. Yeah. So there is a market for it. But in terms of like the big discs, I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Well, obviously, that's the end of our Laserdisc discussion today. And again, I appreciate you, obviously, and the discussion. Ben, it's been ace. But I thought, as we did last time, we did something called the... and I've not told you about this in advance. I thought I'd just kind of put you a bit more on the spot here with these questions. Keep these as a bit of a surprise this time. Okay. So I'm going to put Ben on the Movie Cheer Town truth box. Yep. The last time, I'm going to ask Ben some questions. I need his honest opinions. And he's let's see what we got in the truth box this time. So, I know you're into your racing and obviously sports racing. Mm-hmm. So I thought this is obviously a favorite racing related release. Now this doesn't have to be it can be a movie related to racing, or
yeah,
and it can be any format. So have you got like a particular release, a movie, or a maybe it's a documentary maybe on racing? Have you got a particular favorite one or a few favorites that come to mind?
There's quite a few documentaries that have come out, and just trying to think, looking at the shelf down there, because they're right in the corner. It's mainly sort of season reviews for Formula One and MotoGP, touring cars, one or two documentaries, a lot of these sort of crash videos where you've got like, you know, an hour's worth of, you know, car crashes and bike crashes and whatnot. In fact, there is one documentary here. I'll just bring it out.
Fantastic.
There's been a few of these. And it's called Hitting the Apex, and it's based on the Motorcycle World Championship, MotoGP. It's narrated by Brad Pitt, and it sort of talks about an era from like 2012 to 2013 of, you know, the seasons during that time, the rivalries between the riders, and it was like, you know, fully shot for HD. And obviously Brad Pitt's a big motorsport guy. He's narrating it. And this is kind of like a cool documentary to check out. Some great footage, great audio. So yeah, Hitting the Apex. This is a pretty good one. Another one, just try and bring it up. Motorsport. Is there anything else? In terms of season reviews.
See, this is what happens when you get put on the truth box. You get the honest answers, and Ben is giving the honest answers here. I like that. He's got them all behind him as well. And Ben, if you didn't watch the last video, Ben has got this sort of psychic trait where he can just find a movie like that.
There's one more documentary that I think any racing fan should have, and that's Colin McRae, Rally Legend. This was made just before he sadly passed away, because he passed away in 2007 in a helicopter crash. Very sad.
Yeah, I remember that.
And this documentary was made just a few months before the accident, so because he was hoping to make a comeback to the WRC, and he was given full access to his house and his collection of cars, and they were documenting his career. And it's just a really nice documentary, and it's a shame his career came to an abrupt end with that. So if you like World Rally, check this one out. Colin McRae, Rally Legend. So there you go.
Yeah. So the two great choices. I'm definitely going to check. I want to check out that one with Brad Pitt doing the thingy. But I think Colin McRae as well. He used to have the video games, didn't he, as well, back in the day? The Colin McRae PlayStation games, is it right?
Yeah, Colin McRae Rally. And I think there's Dirt as well.
Super popular guy. Yeah. Another one for the Movie Cheer Town Truth Box. Your favourite non-MCU Marvel movie. You've got the Spider-Mans, you've got your X-Mens, you've got your Fantastic Four. I mean, there's obviously you've got Hellboys. There's some great choices over the years, I think. And obviously now they're integrating a few of them more so into the main canon of the MCU. Letting Ben just go off camera to have a little look in his collection. And I mean, I can see, he's got something. Well, I know what you got out there. I know what you got. I used to have that.
I mean, this is the whole series, but I do think the very first episode of the Incredible Hulk TV series with Bill Bixby, the very first episode, if you look at that TV movie, it's a pretty good origin story. And I would say the opening episode of the original Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, when he becomes the Hulk for the first time, when he does the gamma radiation, it goes wrong, and then he hulks out in the rain and the thunderstorm. And I'd say this is a pretty good start for the series. And also, for a standalone movie, for an Incredible Hulk movie, I'd say it's the quintessential way to watch the Hulk as he should be. So,
I love that box set as well. The box set is the coolest looking box set that, like.
Yeah, all the discs are in here. And
I need to
watch this series again. I mean, it's a bit dated because it was made in the 70s. But in terms of the stories, there's a lot of good stories in here. And you can't beat Bill and Lou, you know, in that role together. They made it work. And the pilot episode of the Incredible Hulk series. That's the non-MCU movie.
Not Bruce Banner there. David Banner, isn't it?
David Banner, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I know you're a big... I know you like your wrestling, like myself. And obviously, what do you think of wrestling at the moment? Are you enjoying WWE? Are you watching it recently?
I mean, I'm not watching it religiously, but I still sort of check in as to what's going on. Like, there's a few people online that I follow, like WrestleMania and Brian Zane, Wrestling with Regret, those that report on it. What Culture and Cultaholic, they talk about it as well. So I'm always sort of interested in what's going on, but I'm not watching it or paying for anything. I'm not paying for the network or anything like that. But
I do
see clips, you know, weekly about what's going on and who's doing what and any interviews with some of the older guys. And so I'm still in touch, but I haven't watched it religiously for about maybe a good, you know, 8-9 years maybe. But I'm still in touch with it. Yeah.
So I saw on your Instagram page recently, you were showing some of the, I think it's the VHS of the, yes, the Royal Rumbles. And yeah, I love them. Them VHS covers are brilliant. But I mean, yeah, have you got a favourite release of like a WWA, WWF, or even ECW, WCW? Have you got like any favourite documentaries or favourite pay-per-views over the years that you kind of like on physical that you really enjoyed?
Look. I mean, this is probably a recent one, but okay, you can't, this documentary, The Last Ride, The Undertaker. I mean, this was such a great documentary series.
I've still not watched that. Is it good?
You've not seen it. Get it, man. Get the DVD. Get it now.
I've heard good things. I've just not got around to watching it yet. But it's,
yeah.
So explain this one. It's obviously The Undertaker retiring, isn't it? It's just like, is it the journey of just talking about his career, is it? Or
not really his career. It's pretty much, it starts off after WrestleMania 30 when he had the concussion and he lost the streak. And it then follows the next few years of him trying to get that proper retirement. But obviously the matches weren't as good as he wanted. You know, the injuries were still coming. He wanted to try and go out on his own terms. And you're seeing him struggling to, you know, really, you know, go for it in the ring. And like I said, age, yeah, it's going to catch up with you eventually. And it's basically an episodic series. I think it's like 5 episodes long.
Yeah,
it documents from about 2014 to the final match he had with AJ Styles in 2020, like that Boneyard match that he had. It's just,
that was ace. Yes.
But as far as I know, this series is still available on DVD. So go on Amazon or go to your HMV, find the copy now. You can get it on DVD as well, not just Blu-ray. Yeah, just watch it. Just get it. Get it now. Before it's gone forever.
I'll definitely have to watch that, mate. I mean, there was one always back in the day I used to always watch is the ECW. Rise and Fall of ECW. I don't know if you ever watched that one, but that was really...
No, I missed out on that one. Yeah, I never got to buy it. You know, as soon as I was looking for it, it's like out of print. And again, like Laserdiscs, you know, that's like 50 quid on eBay now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's crazy how they go up in price, especially now with, obviously, WWE now, they've stopped making the physical format. I don't know if they're going to kind of pick it up with a different company. But
I haven't heard any momentum. I mean, the website is still open, but there's no new releases. Yeah. So I'm guessing any stock that's left over, you can still get, and you can still buy a lot of it through Amazon. So the stock is still there, but once it runs out, that's going to be it. There's been no releases since their last Saudi show that they did. I forget which one it was,
They used to do they used to call them tagged classics, and you get like two pay-per-views on one DVD.
Yeah.
Some of them on eBay, like I said, because they're out of print now, the prices are crazy. It's like you're paying like 30, 40 quid for one disc, and you're kind of like, I enjoy it. And there's some of them out there I really want to pick up over time, but it's just like, kind of like you're thinking 40 quid, 50 quid, that's for one disc. It's like, it's a lot that to pay. Like, but it's, I suppose now is probably the time because they're only going to get higher and higher, the prices now.
They will do. I mean, I've got a fair few of them, not the biggest collection of tag classics. I mean, it's a mixture of VHS and the tag classics. I mean, I managed to get all of the UK pay-per-views that they did, like Insurrection and Rebellion. They did a few of them back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And there was one that I managed to pick up. It was like UK Rampage that was done at Wembley. And also there was, what was the other one they did? Battle Royal at the Royal Albert Hall. You know, that one show they did in the Royal Albert Hall. You know, it's not the best pay-per-view, but again, it's just a cool event to see it inside the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
I never go back there. So, you know, that's one of them that always sticks out. So, yeah, I've got a few of them as well. Tag classics.
That's brilliant. So I want to put you one more for the movie Cheer Town Truth Box before you go. And you kind of touched upon this with the with obviously the Snyder Cup. But what has been your, what is your favourite Snyderverse movie? So in this, we got to count obviously the ones Zack Snyder obviously directed, where you can count like the likes of The Flash. And, you know, some of them other ones, Aquaman, have you got a favourite out of them? And maybe one that you felt like got criticised a bit more so and was something you really enjoyed?
I mean, it's a very hard sell between the actual Justice League movie that he did and also Dawn of Justice with Batman and Superman. But I do feel that, you know, when it was Bat versus Soup, it was kind of a little bit divided. But then once it came to disc, there was like that extended cut and that helped it a little bit longer. And I managed to get the 4K. This is one of the first 4Ks that I bought as well. And
I like that one. I really like it. And like you said, the extended version of that I thought was really enjoyable. I thought it was...
I mean, it's still not perfect, but I think, you know, the extra scenes, I think, helped it a little bit long.
Yeah.
But the problem is with it is that I don't think it was intended to be a trilogy because originally Man of Steel was just going to be Man of Steel. That was it. It was going to be one Superman movie. And then the MCU was gaining momentum, and then DC were like, oh, we need to catch up. So why don't we do Justice League now. And it's like, well, you can't really do that. We need Man of Steel 2, and then we need Ben Affleck's single Batman movie, and then you put them together. Yeah. But you can't just brush them all in together. So I think they did rush it, and I think they jumped the gun too much. But I don't think it was probably originally to be a trilogy to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they really just looked at what Marvel were doing, kind of for let's try and copy that formula, and it just didn't work. They were doing it at slow paces as well. They built it up over years and stuff, and you know it didn't work out. What do you think of the Flash? Did you enjoy the Flash?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was great to see Michael Keaton back. I mean, I know Ezra Miller. I know he did naughty things outside of the film. I know that, but overall, that didn't really affect my enjoyment of it. You know, to see Keaton back for one final time. It was fine. Yes, the visual effects were a bit shonky and they were kind of a bit sort of, I don't know. But overall...
Video gamey.
I didn't mind it. But yeah, just to see Keaton back, I think was the main selling point for this one. There's no...
Yeah.
I can understand why people didn't like it. I know why people don't like the lead actor as the Flash. But just to see Keaton back for one final run, I think was good enough. And it served its purpose. And then by the time it ends, you realise that, this universe is doomed. You're not going to save it. You've got to literally let it go and just leave it be. So, I don't mind it. It's fine. It's fine.
No, I thought I enjoy it. I didn't mind the Flash. I think it got panned. Like you said, I think a lot of it was obviously more so with what was going on outside the movie. But I think as a movie alone, like you said, Keaton was amazing to see him come back. And I think we might never see that again because we had the Batwoman movie as well. The Batgirl movie that got cancelled.
That's never going to be seen. Yeah.
That's just like that blows my mind that there's a whole movie out there that just is in some vault and it's never gonna, maybe in the future it'll come to the light of day, but it's never seen in release. But that is obviously, I appreciate you taking to the movie Cheertown Truth Box, Ben. appreciate that. But I just want to say thank you very much for watching this video today, ladies and gents. And thank you for joining this discussion on Laserdisc. Let us know your thoughts on Laserdisc collecting. Do you collect Laserdisc currently? Is it a format you're wanting to get into? What are your memories of Laserdisc? Let me know all your thoughts. And I just want to say a huge thank you to Ben again for joining us on this discussion today. Ben, where can people find you online? Where's the best place?
Yeah, as before, just pretty much Instagram, rider_rated_18. That's pretty much the only social I'm active on. I mean, I have Facebook, but I don't really use it anymore. It's pretty much just Instagram. That's where I'll post what I'm watching and just, general discussions and, the occasional live stream. I haven't actually done one for a while, but if you want to follow me, just follow me on Instagram. That's where you'll find me. I'm always there.
Super. Well, thank you again, Ben, for obviously, I really appreciate you coming on for this. I've enjoyed the chat. I've enjoyed finding out more about Laserdisc and just see more of these great covers as well. I think it's a really cool format, and I think anyone out there who does start collecting it, I think it's a great format for any movie fans, definitely. But thank you very much for watching, ladies and gents. Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer, and as always, we will see you next time.